I enjoy reading memoirs. And last summer, Shelley brought home an interesting memoir that she found at a place we had in Pennsylvania called Ollie's. Their slogan was "Good stuff, cheap." They had this used book bin where you can get books for a dollar. And there's a Christian writer that I enjoy reading. His name is Ian Crone. And I've always enjoyed his stuff, but I didn't realize he had written a memoir about his life. And so Shelley brought it home, and the title of it intrigued me because it was called "Jesus, My Father, the CIA, and Me." And I began reading it, and it's a very heartbreaking and yet profound story. He begins in the first chapter explaining that he had a very strained and difficult relationship with his father growing up. He, in many ways, was abusive. He was very angry. He always sort of felt like his dad kind of had this secret life, and he wanted love from him, but just never quite got it. And 20 years after his father died, he was cleaning out some things in his attic, and he found some documents that explained that for his entire career, his dad was actually a secret operative in the CIA, very high up in the CIA, and his son never knew. No one in his family ever knew except for his wife. And he went back and he asked his mother, he said, Was this true that Dad was in the CIA all these years doing really dangerous and secret stuff? And she said, "Yes, honey." And she said, "I know it doesn't excuse the way he treated you." And she said, "But he was a deeply stressed person. He had tremendous pressure on him all the time." And she said, "I know it doesn't excuse it, but I think that's probably what led to some of his behavior. He just couldn't cope with it. And he hated having this secret from his family all of his life." And I tell that story because as he goes on to explain his own life, he says that when he discovered who his father really was, it changed him. Because he said he learned some things about who his father really was, which in fact made him learn more about himself. It was a discovery process. And I thought, well, you know, it's very much the same when we discover that God is our Father. It's interesting that when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us how to pray," of all the things that he could have told them to say as they began a prayer, he told them to begin by addressing God as our Father. In other words, that obviously was very significant, very important to Jesus, and very important for all of his followers, that they understand that God is a Father. And so, in the same way that Ian Crone discovered some things when he realized who his father was, we discover some things when we call God our Father. And so here's the question I want to ask today. What do we discover when we call God our Father? Now, I've chosen Psalm 103, verses 13 through 14, which Ray just read, just two brief verses. I've chosen those two verses because I think that they give us tremendous insight into what we discover when we call God our Father. And they tell us that we discover two things. We discover that when we call God our Father, we are included in a family, and we are involved in a mission. Okay, so what do we discover when we call God our Father? Two things. We are included in a family, and we are involved in a mission. So let's look first of all. When we call God our Father, we discover that we are included in a family. Now, notice that when Jesus says to begin the Lord's Prayer, we're to call God our Father. Very interesting, right? not simply my father, although he is a father to each one of us individually. Jesus stressed that we say our Father. In other words, he's saying that this prayer takes on the full extent of its meaning when we pray it in a group setting, but when we pray remembering that we're part of a larger family of brothers and sisters who all call God our Father together. And so when we look at this particular passage in the Psalms, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Compassion. And, you know, in the same way that God looks at some of us who are old Subarus and some of us who are, you know, brand new cars or whatever it might be, he doesn't compare. He looks at all of us and he's not a condemning father. He's a compassionate father. Now, part of what that means is that we're all in a family together, which means that God sees all of us in a very particular way. See, in the book of Galatians, Paul says, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have therefore been clothed with Christ. And he goes on, he says, there's therefore no longer male nor female, no longer slave nor free, no longer Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. Now, it's an interesting image that he's using. If you're baptized into Christ, you're clothed with Christ, which means that God looks at you and he sees you wearing the clothing of Christ. Now, you know, all of us at times have probably dressed up in some type of costume, you know, for Halloween or a party or something like that. And we know that that can be fun, and it's, you know, it doesn't really fool people. Just because you put on a, you know, a Ronald Reagan mask or something, you know, people don't necessarily say, oh, you must be Ronald Reagan. But when we're clothed with Christ, God looks at us and he sees that we're all included in a family. And part of that is all of the realities that go along with being in a family. We get impatient with each other. We learn from each other. And all of that is good, because that's what shapes us. And so when we call God our Father, we discover that we are included in a family. Now, there's a second thing we learn when we call God our Father, and that's this. We are involved in a mission. Now, it was well known in biblical times, particularly in the Old Testament, that children, particularly sons of fathers, typically didn't choose their own career. If you were a child of your father, it was expected and assumed that you were going to apprentice under your father. Okay, so for example, Jesus had an earthly father named Joseph who was a carpenter. What did Jesus do until he turned 30 and he was baptized and began his ministry? He was a carpenter. He was trained, apprenticed under someone for a particular task, a particular mission. And so when God looks at all of us and says that we're all sons of God through Jesus Christ, he's saying we've all been elevated to that status as a son who is being trained and apprenticed under God's vocation. And we know from this particular verse that God's primary vocation is the business of compassion, the business of forgiveness. You know, my dad was a fighter pilot, and the middle of his career, at one point when he was stationed at a base in North Carolina, he had worked his way up to a pretty high-ranking officer there, and was able to go places in the base where lower ranking officers were not necessarily able to go. And he said to me one time, he said, how would you like to come with me to take a ride in the simulator? And I said, what's a simulator? And he said, well, it's where we train and practice being fighter pilots. And he said, it's like an actual cockpit of a plane, and they seal you in, and it's all computerized, and it moves wherever you steer the screen, and there's filmed images there. It's really like you're flying, and they send other planes in, and you have to learn how to maneuver. And I said, that sounds great. So he took me down to the base one evening, and he's wearing his uniform, his flight suit, his rank on his chest, and all of that. And so we go into this particular room, and you have to go through kind of a series of rooms to get to the inner room, you know. And at one point, he went off to go into the other room to sign some papers to allow me to do this. I was only 10 years old, so I was a year younger than Carly is right now. And so I'm left standing there by myself in this room with all this secret, valuable, you know, highly expensive stuff. And all of a sudden I hear, hey! I turn around and there's an armed military policeman there with an M16. And he says, how'd you get in here? You can't be in here. What happened? And he takes his CB and he begins to phone somebody in, and I'm sweating bullets, literally. And then my dad comes around the corner and says, it's okay, he belongs to me. And the man looks at my father and says, well, I'm sorry, Colonel Bittner, I just, you know, I saw a kid in here, I just wasn't sure what was going on. And my dad says, we're on a mission. Let us through. And so he takes me into the cockpit. I'll never forget that experience. And again, that's part of what Paul is trying to show us in Galatians when he says that we're all sons of God through Christ. It's God saying, look, you belong to me. We're on a mission. We're on a mission of extending compassion to people. And so as a church, Second Reformed Church, that's our mission. You know, we have so many wonderful opportunities of ways to do that. I mean, so many ways. The food pantry is one way. The different events that we have for our neighbors in need, there are just endless opportunities that so many of you are involved in here. And that's really what it's all about. It's easy for us sometimes to become discouraged or bogged down in the details of funding these particular events that we do, and having enough volunteers to staff the events, and working out all the logistics, and all those are important. And it's easy sometimes to lose sight of the fact that really what it's all about is to extend compassion to people. To remind people of what verse 14 in this psalm says, that God remembers that we are dust. He knows how we're made. That's, again, getting back to the whole Subaru image. In other words, it's God, it's telling people that God looks at us and says, I know you're broken. I know you're struggling. I know you're flawed. I know you're having trouble. And it's okay. I know how you were made. I know that you're dust. But I'm a father who has compassion. And you know, that ultimately is what changes us. You know, one of my favorite preachers, his name is Steve Brown. You know, he used to say that the only way that you will ever get better is to know that God will love you even if you don't. He said the only way that you'll ever change is to know that you really don't have to change to get God to love you. That's the irony, is that once we believe that, once we understand that, that's when we actually begin to change. When we begin to focus on God and stop thinking so much about ourselves and and how imperfect we are, when we realize God knows how we're made. He knows we're dust, but He's a Father who has compassion. We begin to realize, you know what? He's included us in His family, and He has involved us on His mission. Now, I don't know of anyone who has summed this up better than a man named N.T. Wright, who's a Christian writer. And on the very front of your bulletin, on the cover, I included a quote from N.T. Wright in a book that he wrote, simply entitled The Prayer of Our Lord. Here's what he says. He says, we need to learn what it means to call God Father. And we mustn't be surprised when we find ourselves startled by what it means. Saying our Father isn't just the boldness, the sheer cheek of walking into the presence of the living and almighty God and saying, Hi, Dad. It is the boldness, the sheer total risk of saying quietly, Please, may I too be considered an apprentice son. It means signing on for the kingdom of God. And what a privilege we have of doing that. That Jesus, who showed the ultimate compassion by giving His life that we might live, that He would enable us to call His Father our Father, that He would include us in His family, and that He would involve us in His mission. No wonder, as we sang earlier, no wonder we want to pass it on, shout it from the mountaintops. We have a God who is a heavenly Father who gives us the privilege of calling on Him, being included in His family and involved in His mission. Thanks be to God. Let's pray once again. Lord, we thank You that You are a good and loving and gracious and compassionate God. We thank You that You have included us in a family and involved us on a mission. Thank You, Lord. May You change us as we discover that each day and as we continue to worship You this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.